I was American born, and I'll die in America.
Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our Defender 7 Medical Tuesday night broadcast with your host, our Colonel, Kimberly Purvis. Hope everyone's doing well tonight. It's been a real hot one here, broadcasting live from South Kakalaki. Before we get on with our show, I need to read our disclaimer. The views and opinions expressed on Defender's radio show and Facebook page are those of the callers and or authors and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the Defenders 7. So with that set aside, good evening and welcome. We always have a great show for you here at the Defender 7. Please show your respect and support for our Colonel. She works very diligently and very hard for all of us. Now, without further ado, I present to you and turning over the microphone to our Colonel, your host, Colonel Kimberly Purvis. Good evening, babe.
Good evening. It's been a long day.
You sound like how I feel.
Oh, I'm telling you. It's been raining all day, and it's been real gloomy, doomy, kind of whatever. I mean, it's okay, but still. I got my mint dried, and I got my basil dried, and I will do my oregano tomorrow.
Cool.
Or later, whatever. So I'm gonna get a bunch more and just grow a bunch of herbs. And I found out that mint actually will take over a garden. I didn't know that.
Oh yeah.
So what I'm gonna do is they've quadrupled in size from when I got them a couple weeks ago, and so I picked them all and. So I dried them. I was thinking about how to make it into an essential oil or whatever, because I don't know what other cooks use mint for. Hell if I know. I just like the way it smells, especially when you dry it out in your oven. So, I'm gonna get a box, and that way you can spray it on its own. So. And oregano, I did not know that you could even eat the little flowers that's on it. They're tiny flowers.
Oh, yeah.
But, I got one inside and one outside. And I'm going to see which way it grows better. And apparently, instead of having it look like the little twigs, they're flimsy. And it could grow like little fingers. Or you could chop it off the top. And it will actually turn into a bush. So that's what I did. And so hopefully it'll get bigger and become a bush instead of like spindly little twigs. But Other than that, on my knee, I don't have a partial tear of my ACL. It's my lateral. The cartilage has separated from the knee. Yay.
Ooh,
so,
damn.
Yeah, it's the side. You know the cartilage that's on the top of your femur? Or the, I don't know which, if it's the top or the bottom, but it's the cartilage. And I have the cyst ruptured on the back, the Baker's cyst ruptured, but I do have fluid in my knee. And so the orthopedic surgeon said physical therapy for 6 weeks. And because I can't take Motrin because of my stomach, they're giving me a topical anti-inflammatory to use instead. So, and they just said, keep elevating it, keep icing it and all that good shit and wear the brace. And it's a neoprene brace. You know what I'm talking about? It's got the Velcro and the hinges that's surrounded. That's what we kind of have.
Right.
So it works. I mean, it's just at night it sucks.
It's good for you old people.
Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, that's it. So I figured we cover. Let me go over some real quick news. The body count is up to 12 now.
Yes.
In the condo. Where was it at? Hold on a second. There's some really weird shit. The Iran-U.S. violence escalating after the retaliatory strike over there. So... and get this bullshit. I'm sorry. I am not all for this crap. So leave it to Nevada. the first transgender Miss USA in Nevada. So you can't hack it as a man. You become a woman just so you could, you know, it's like it's pathetic. So I'm sorry. They need to make their own transgender Miss USA, whatever.
Yep.
You know, I'm sorry, but women have a hard enough time as it is. Don't get me wrong. I think they should do away with the Miss USA because all it is a sexualization of women. And I don't even know why the women want to do it, but hey, whatever. Go for it. If that's what you're into. But... anywho, I thought we'd cover burns. We haven't done it in a long time. So, where'd it go? Nope, not that one. Oh, come on. So what is a burn? A burn occurs when heat, chemical, sunlight, electricity, radiation, it damages your skin tissue. So most of the time you get a burn accidentally. There's different types of burns, and so I'm going to go over the different degrees of burns, the different types of burns, and all that cool stuff, and how to treat them. And the old wives' tales, yeah, don't do those. everybody knows the old wives' tale. So how common are burns? Close to 500,000 people go to the emergency department every year, and more than 300 children go to the ER for burns. Now, most of the time, children get burned by boiling water, your hot stove, radiator heaters, the floor ones, the ones in the, you know, there's different ways that, don't get me wrong, that's your average. Sometimes you have parents who actually are very abusive and they do their own fair share of horrible things to their children. But let's see. But if it's an accident, it's an accident. Which is why when you're cooking, always turn your pots and pan handles inside so the kids can't, you know, because once they get to a certain age, they're going to start grabbing shit off that stove. And don't let – my own personal thing, when I was cooking, I would not let my kids in the kitchen if they were under five. Simply because of grease burns and things like that. I don't, you know, didn't want my kids to get burnt. So there's first-degree burns, second-degree burns, and third-degree burns. And first-degree is they're mild. And it's like most sunburns. It turns red. And usually it doesn't blister. Usually. Now, I don't know about you guys. Whenever I'm in a vehicle, if I'm the passenger, my arm is always outside. So my arm will darken over a longer period of time. Now, sometimes, and sometimes it could do it if it's on a really hot, sunny day. You could get it burnt just like that because of the glass from the windshield magnifies the sun rays. So it actually makes it where you can actually burn easier. Most of your first-degree burns, like sunburns, you would just put like aloe gel on it or sunburn cream, things like that. Don't put – I know the old wives' tales was putting shortening or lard or whatever, butter. Don't do that because that just intensifies it. It actually magnifies your burn. Second degree affects the skin's top layer and lower layers, and that is usually where you get the pain, redness, swelling, and blistering. Especially with sunburns, usually it takes a little while for the blisters to come up. Sometimes it'll be right away. Sometimes it can happen overnight or whatever. The best thing to use for those that I've always used is the lidocaine aloe. It used to be blue. And the regular aloe was green, but I actually got some aloe gel that had lidocaine in it. It does work very well. The first time you put it on there, it's going to sting. Not as bad as Mercurochrome. And I'm sure a lot of us old people know exactly what Mercurochrome is. So we've been falling victim to that stuff plenty of times. I'm sure you have, Bobby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that little red bottle of hell on earth. And no fair amount of blowing on it is going to make it any better. It just doesn't happen. So third-degree burns will affect all three skin layers. Your epidermis, which is the outer layer, the dermis, and then the fat. And the burn will destroy hair follicles and sweat glands. And usually third-degree burns will damage your nerve endings. So for someone that gets a third-degree burn, there will not be – chances are there's not going to be pain, especially if it's like fire or anything like that. And they won't have any pain. But it will just say you burnt your arm. So around the edges, it will burn. It'll hurt, but it's the actual inside that won't. So burned skin may be black, white, or red with a leathery appearance. So what causes a burn? So there's a whole bunch of things that can cause a burn. Thermal sources, including fire, hot liquids, and steam, or contact with hot surfaces are the most common cause of burns. Believe it or not, now it would have to be set really, really high. Steam rooms, saunas, those would have to be, because I know they have to be set at a certain temperature. Anything above, I'm not sure what the temp is on them, but I just know they're hot as hell. The same thing goes for your hot tubs or even your shower. If your thermostat set up too high, mine is, I don't even know what mine's set on, but it's like if you turn on just the hot water, it's scalding hot. You will turn red after you you have to actually use cold water. Do you know what the temp is? Is it 80 degrees or 120? I can't remember what your hot water heater is supposed to be set at. Hot water.
Yeah, I don't think it's supposed to be set that high.
140 degrees.
Yeah.
So anything over that, don't do it. And so that's going to be the same thing for your hot tubs. Hot tubs might be set a little lower, which is the reason why they only want you in there for 15 minutes at a time. Unless your hot tub is actually set outside because the air, the temperature outside will actually cool it quicker. Unlike if you go to a gym or whatever, it's inside. So, so other burns they're talking about is chemicals such as cement, acids, drain cleaners, any chemical can irritate your skin. Bleach, I mean, it's not going to, like, give you a third-degree burn, but it can irritate your skin. So radiation, electricity, and the sun, or UV or ultraviolet rays. So some of the common signs of burns, like I said, varying on the degree of the sunburn or the burn, blisters, pain, swelling, white or charred, or peeling skin. Usually a really bad sunburn peels a couple days later, depending on each person. So, and when you have like a sunburn or any kind of thing, when your skin starts to itch a lot, that's a good sign that means you're healing. And the same thing goes for wounds. When your wound is itching, it just means it's healing. Okay, so how are they diagnosed? A healthcare provider will examine the burn to determine the degree or severity. And so there is a percentage that they go by for adults and for infants and children. So a minor burn is a first and second degree burn that covers less than 10% of the body. And I'm going to go over the how to distinguish your percentages, your arms, your legs, your chest, your front, and your back, and your face. There's actual percentages for each of those. And so a minor burn very rarely needs hospitalization. So your moderate burn is a second-degree burn that covers about 10%. Burns on the hands, feet, or face, or genitals can range from moderate to severe because it's a smaller area, and also where it's at. So a severe is a third-degree burn that covers more than 1% of the body is considered severe. So burn treatment will vary depending on the cause and severity of it. So the important thing is to always keep your burns clean and apply the proper bandage and dressing depending on the severity of the wound. And treating the pain is the most important thing. So some pain is good, but too much will impair the body's healing and the wound care itself. If you're in excruciating pain, you're not going to heal right. The same thing goes if you have a regular wound, a surgical wound or any other kind of wound, that's whatever. It'll take longer for your body to heal. So to continue to check wounds for signs of infection and other long-term issues, the scarring and tightening of the skin over joints and muscles, which is why you need to keep your range of motion good too. So first-degree burns, run cool water over the burn, not cold, like room temperature water, just cool. Never apply ice to a first-degree burn. Like I said, apply the aloe gel. For thermal burns, apply antibiotic cream and cover lightly with a gauze. And you could just take over-the-counter pain medication, Tylenol. Your anti-inflammatories will probably work better, you know, for any inflammation. Second-degree burns, for first and second degree, it's pretty much the same thing, but a stronger antibiotic cream is the silver sulfadiazine. It's a big white, a big tub, and it's a white thick paste is what it looks like. And it works great. And when you apply it, it's not going to be like a little thin layer. You're going to put a good amount on it, but they're going to tell you anyway. But yeah, you're going to put a good amount and then you wrap it and things like that. And elevating the burn area can also reduce pain and swelling, unless it's on your head. Unless you sit up slightly elevated, that's going to be the only way. For third degree burns, they can be life-threatening. And a lot of the time that you get one, it will require a skin graft. So a skin graft will replace the damaged tissue and healthy skin from another part of the uninjured part of the person's body. Or I do believe they still do cadaver grafts, skin grafts, depending on the age of the cadaver. I'm not sure they'll do that. So the area where the skin graft is taken from will generally heal on its own. And it's just like thin little layers of skin. And they lay it on there and they do whatever. I've never worked in a burn clinic, so I'm not really familiar with what they do. So if the person doesn't have enough skin available, and that's where they use, sometimes they could do a temporary source. Okay, they do. They still do cadavers. Also, they have artificial skin graft. But they actually have to replace that, the person's own skin. So, but the treatment for it is extra fluids, usually IV fluids, and to keep the blood pressure steady and prevent shock and dehydration. So the complication, so some of the complications from burns, and this is the third degree burns where you're going to really have your biggest complications. And this is what they're concerned with, is how deep they are and how much of the body has been burned. And so those are the ones that's more life-threatening. So even second-degree burns can become infected. So that's why you just keep an eye on it. I know a sunburn is pink or red, but you're going to always want to look for, like, around the edges. Is it still hot to touch? Do you have a red streak going up from where the burn's at? I mean, just your normal things to look for. Also, fever. Normally, you don't get a fever with a sunburn unless you get sun poisoning. So, and usually first-degree burns don't cause any type of scars. So this is some of the main complications from third-degree burns is an arrhythmia, and that's just an irregular heart rate rhythm. And that could be caused by an electrical burn. dehydration because you burnt the skin, and the moisture in your body. And so that's how you become dehydrated. So disfiguring scars and contractures, depending on how much of the surface area is burnt, depending on how big it is. You can also get edema, which is excess fluid and swelling in the tissue. And let me see what they say. So basically it's just trapped fluid in your body tissue. So, and it'll depend on how bad it is and what kind of medications they can put you on. You can also go into organ failure. You can get pneumonia. Let me see why, because I've never heard of getting pneumonia from a burn. I guess it depends on what kind of burn. That would also depend if you get an infection from it. You can also end up with seriously low blood pressure, and which can lead to shock. And any severe infection that comes from a burn, you can end up with sepsis, which is all in your body. Or you can also have a body part amputated, your arm, leg, foot, whatever. So here's ways to prevent burns. Wear sunscreen with any SPF. Know your body. Also where you live and the different times of the day, because we know from 12 to 4, 12 to 4 is usually the hottest part of the day, unless you live in Florida or Texas and it's at 9 o'clock in the morning. It's friggin' hot. So this is saying on this particular site here, this is saying set your water heater below 120. So mine's probably set at 140. Everybody knows when you're bathing an infant or a small child, a toddler, whatever, test the water before you put them in it and use the back of your wrist to run the water over to check the water. Lock up chemicals, lighters, and matches. Use the stove's back burners as much as possible. It's just if you have children, small children. Never leave a stove unattended. Don't hold a child when you're near hot objects like the stove or whatever. This is for instance, my ex-stepdaughter was holding her third child. She was probably a year and a half, and she was making ramen noodles. Took it off the stove and spilt it on her head. Now, in all honesty, that's child abuse, because there's no way that you're going to spill a pot of water when you're holding a child on your hips. So, just make sure you're not holding a child when you have a hot food or anything. Use safeguards around a fireplace or a fire. Never leave a child unattended. Never leave your drunk friends unattended near a fire. And I know it sounds like some years ago we had a bonfire and we were all drinking, and one of us was standing too close to the fire and the rubber started to melt on our shoes. Make sure if anyone's inebriated, intoxicated, whatever, they're away from a fire. Install and regularly test smoke detectors in your home. Make sure you have a fire extinguisher in your house. Make sure it's not out of date, and make sure you know how to use them. And especially if you have small children, cover your electrical outlets with those little plastic safety things for them. So the prognosis for people with burns, with proper treatment, for most first and second degree burns, heal over 2 to 3 weeks. You know, most of the time. Depending on the burn severity, you may have some scarring, which will fade over time. People recovering from third-degree burns will need physical and occupational therapy for your, mainly it's for your range of motion of your joints. And sometimes people with third-degree burns end up with PTSD or depression because depending on what happened, they will be traumatized. So with medical advancements that we have today, people can recover from a 90% burn of their body, that people still live. So when should you call your doctor or go to the emergency room? So if you have burns on your hands, feet, face, or your genitals, burns that don't improve after 2 weeks, if you've got blistering, severe pain, fever, or if stuff starts draining out of your burn, if it's yellow or green or anything like that, that's a sign of infection. And they're also saying for signs of PTSD or depression, you know, some people can get traumatized from it. And so basically, I mean, when you go see the doctor, they're going to tell you what the degree burn is, and they're going to tell you what the best treatment is, how to lower the risk of infection. And believe it or not, your diet will also help in healing, and how to lower the risk of scarring, actually how to further complicate future risk of accidental burns. So that's it for that. And I'm going to go into the other part, the different types of burns, like the thermal, radiation, chemical, and electrical. So we went over thermal. Radiation is burns due to prolonged exposure to ultraviolet rays of the sun or to other sources of radiation, like X-rays, which you call it, not chemo, but the radiation therapy for cancer patients that for the localized area, that is a radiation burn as well. Chemical burns due to strong acids, alkalis, detergents, or solvents coming in contact with the eyes or skin, like I said, bleach, hair dye, been there, done that. And that's why they make a lot of splash-proof chemicals now. And then electrical burns, such as you could get a 110 from your regular outlet. Don't have frayed cords on your appliances, your lamps, your TV, whatever. Try not to. I'm trying to think. 220, how much damage would a 220 do? Bobby, do you know?
.220 will give you like a sunburn, but hurts like an MF-er.
Well, I mean, do know.
You know you get a bite of it, but I mean, as long as you hit it and are released from it, you're good.
Yeah, that's the thing about the electrical burns. The higher the voltage, you can't just let it go. Normally someone has to, like, and I'm talking, they have to do a running friggin' tackle or use something that's not conductive to get whatever
right.
it is out of your hand. Like, I had a hair dryer and did not know the cord had a little splice in it, and it overheated more, so the plastic started to melt. Well, when I was drying my hair, the freaking cord stuck to my arm, and, well, yeah, I got a good shock.
Yeah, that's a 110. I'd rather get shocked with a 110 than a 220.
Oh, yeah. And also, where the electricity goes in, it needs to come out somewhere else. If it doesn't have an exit, that means it all stayed in your body, and that's when it could jack up your heart, because your heart works on electrical current. So let's go down. Oh, a minute. Let's see. So a burn rehab team. Oh, the other thing I was going to say about third-degree burns, a person, and I'm not saying this is always going to happen, some people do die from severe third-degree burns, but chances of the person dying from the burn is lower than the risk of them getting infection or shock, honestly. Because that's going to be one of the biggest causes of them dying is from infection or shock. And that's why it's important. If someone has got a severe burn, never remove. Now, this is the last thing I was told. I don't know if it's ever changed. Don't pull it off of a burn. Like if they got burnt by a fire, leave it. Don't peel it off because you'll do a lot more damage from instead of the burn itself. So a burn, and this is from in a burn rehab team. There's so many functions and systems of the body that can be affected by severe burns. The need for rehab becomes even more crucial. So some hospitals have burn units, and then sometimes they have actual burn hospitals or centers where people can go. So, and at a burn rehab, they're going to have, they didn't even spell psychiatrist right. Oh, my God, Stanford website. a psychiatrist, they're going to have plastic surgeons, internists, orthopedic surgeons, infectious disease doctors, rehab nurses who specialize in burn care, a physiatrist, whatever that is. I've never heard of a physiatrist. Physical therapist, occupational, respiratory therapist, dietitian, social workers, case managers, recreation therapist, and vocational counselors, because there is a lot of trauma that's associated with third-degree burns. So burn rehab begins during the acute treatment phase and can last from days to months to years. Like I said, depending on the depth and the total body circumference of the burn. So the goal of a burn rehab program, including helping the patient return to the highest level of function and independence possible while improving their overall quality of life, physically, emotionally, and socially. So there's complex wound care, pain management, physical therapy for positioning, splinting, exercising. They have those, the bands, their sleeves for burns. For your arms, and they got them for your legs, and I believe they have them for your face and head as well, if I'm correct. Occupational therapy, and that usually deals with your all of your activities of daily living, getting dressed, going to the bathroom, you know, all of that stuff. Counseling to deal with, like I said, depression, anxiety, grieving, guilt. And a lot of patient and family education and nutritional counseling. Okay, let's go back. Let's see. We went over the first, second, and third degree. Oh, okay. So one site calls it one thing, another one calls it. So your first degree is a superficial. Second degree is your partial thickness, and third degree is a full thickness. You can actually get a third-degree burn all the way down to the bone. But I'm pretty sure that's usually when you get an amputation. Okay, let's go back. Two types. Well, that's all they have on that. So let me go. So we covered, hold on a second. We covered thermal, and we covered, Did we just do chemical? No, we didn't. Sorry. Oh, we covered fire. My bad. So let's look up chemical burns. I thought this had everything in it, but it does not. All right. Like we said, chemical burns can be caused by any type of substance. Like I said, strong acids, drain cleaner like lye, paint thinner, gas, and gasoline is actually more corrosive than, believe it or not, than bleach. Usually you're aware of the burn and its cause, but sometimes you may not immediately recognize a burn caused by a milder chemical. Because not every time, unless you know what it smells like or whatever, you may not even know, especially if it's a chemical spill. So when to call for, to call 911 or seek immediate care for a chemical burn, if it's deep, if it covers an area larger than 3 inches in diameter, and if it covers your hands, feet, face, groin, butt, or a major joint, your hip or your shoulder, things like that. So if you're unsure whether a substance is toxic, call poison control. The number is, it's 1-800-222-1222. Pretty simple. And you can tell them what the chemical is, and they'll tell you what to do, especially if it's ingested. Sometimes they tell you to drink milk or bread to absorb it. Sometimes you have to get active charcoal, which means you're going to have to go to the hospital. Never induce vomiting with anything ingested as a chemical, because you'll do more damage on its way out than you will just going in. So remove the cause of the burn. So whatever caused the chemical burn, remove the person from that area. Flush the chemical off the skin. Well, actually, there is a difference, though. You need to know about the chemical, because some chemicals interact with water. So make sure you read the bottle or the MSDS sheet if you have it right there handy, especially if you're at work. But if you can rinse it off with cool running water for at least 10 minutes. For dry chemicals, okay, the hair. For dry chemicals, you brush off any remaining material before you flush, because it can activate it and cause more harm. Wear gloves or use a towel or any other suitable object, like a brush, paintbrush, anything like that, to help brush the dry chemicals off. Remove clothing or jewelry that's been contaminated by the chemical. And you bandage the burn. Cover the burn with a sterile gauze bandage, not fluffy cotton, or a clean dry or clean cloth. Wrap it loose to avoid putting pressure on the burn skin, because one, you don't want it to stick, like glue stick or tape stick. Also, the inflammation, it can get inflamed, and you don't want it to cut off circulation. If you have to flush your eyes or your skin, flush it again. Most employers have the eye wash station, and it's got them two funky looking handles with like little faucets. And you just put your head down in there between it, and it'll flush your eyes. So make sure that you flush. Was that it? What? Oh, and also make sure your tetanus booster is up to date. Wow, that was fast. They don't have anything for treatment. Well, let's see. Here we go. You still with me?
I'm listening.
Oh, you're here. Okay, I didn't even know you were here. Chemical burn.
I'm taking the needles off my. I'm going to start drinking some pine needle tea. So I got white pine and a spruce pine. So you have to take the needles off and wash them. So that's what I'm doing while I'm listening to you talk about burns.
Soak them in pure alcohol and then eat them.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, he's being a smart aleck.
Yeah, he is. Oh.
I've been learning a lot. I've got natural stuff. Now I have a question about the burns. So,
sure.
You talk about chemical burns. Is there any chemical that people more commonly get, burned by than others?
Well, okay, think about it this way. Gas, bleach, ammonia, I don't even know why people clean with ammonia, but you could get an irritation or burn with ammonia. That's just it. People that are gardeners have to worry about the pesticides, herbicides and all that, because you could get a chemical burn from that. Depending on your job will depend on what you can be exposed to. But for the most part at home, your chemical burns are going to come from your cleaners or even your toilet bowl cleaner. Stuff like that will be the biggest cause for chemical burns or acid burns at home.
That's interesting. I mean, unless you're talking about children, I mean, you would think that adults are, careful with stuff like that. I would have thought it would have been
that's why they make bleach now, the splashless bleach. They make it thicker. Believe it or not, people can get, it could spill, it could puncture. You can actually get a chemical burn by inhaling it and burn your lungs from ammonia and bleach. Never mix ammonia and bleach.
Don't do that.
No, that's a whole other ball game of freaking nightmare.
Don't mix bleach and ammonia. That's not good.
Also, don't mix dish soap and bleach, because it does cause a chemical reaction. My dipshit ex-husband decided to mix it for cleaning, and he burnt his lungs.
That's interesting to know. I mean, not that I ever have or would. It's just, but it is interesting.
Okay, see, here's the thing. The dipshit did it in the bathroom. No ventilation. I'm not saying you can't, because what's going to happen is the dish soap gets hot and it foams up.
Right.
Plus he put too much and he was burping bleach for days. Yeah, I don't feel sorry for him, because I told him not to do it. So yes, make sure you're in a well ventilated area. The mixture is 4-1. If you're doing the bleach, it's 4-1. Four water,
we
one bleach.
We rarely ever use bleach. And then we use
bleach.
Yeah, we don't. I don't even know if we have any. We don't even use ammonia. We use vinegar.
Well, yeah, but see, I tried the vinegar, and yes, I just can't stand the smell of vinegar, unless it's salt and vinegar chips or to clean. I just can't do that. And people think I'm crazy, but I will take an empty spray bottle, I wash it out, pull the label off, and write bleach water on it. And I will mix.
I don't like the smell
bleach
of
water.
Bleach.
Oh, I love the smell of bleach.
Yeah, but
and
vinegar,
I've used too much.
With vinegar, you can add like lemon or something for the smell.
Yeah, I probably could, but, I use mine for pickling. So if I'm going to have vinegar, I'm going to use it for pickling. But I use my
salad
bleach.
Or your pickle. Is that what you said?
Yeah. Yeah, pickling. I usually make pickles and things like that. No, but as far as the bleach works.
Yeah. But bleach, as a kid, we used bleach a lot. But,
I spray my countertops.
Uh-huh.
I spray my countertops, my bathroom, the sink, the toilet, the tub, the walls. I will clean all of it. Now, the floor... Well, I don't have any, Lysol or floor cleaner. Sometimes I use bleach water. But see, you got to watch out for your flooring, depending on what kind of flooring you got. You don't want to burn it and stain it and all that cool shit. But, caustic burns occur when the skin comes in contact with acid, a base, alkali, detergent, or solvent. Paint thinner. Oh, that's another one. Paint thinner. So.
Yeah, I've gotten burned by paint thinner.
But, like I said, it's usually your eyes, face, arms, and legs. It gets burnt or gets irritated or whatever.
From the fume. You can get from the fume.
Yeah. And so it could be cause serious damage to the mouth and throat if the corrosive material is ingested. Don't get me wrong, but don't drink it. Okay? This is this generation that has to have warning labels, and I shit you not, on your bleach bottles and your detergent bottles, it's going to tell you do not rinse and reuse as a drink container. Because I'm jackass.
I have to plead guilty to that. I have to plead guilty to that. We had a fabric softener thing. Well, I was sneaking it on to government property, and I thought I washed it enough, and I poured vodka in it. And,
Jesus.
It had a slight aftertaste. I washed it really, really good. And then I rinsed it in the alcohol before putting it in. So we didn't get sick or anything. I mean, there were a lot of us drinking it. And like I said, I did a pretty good job.
Okay.
I'm pretty
the
sure
thing
it was.
Is, how old were you? How old were you?
19 or 20.
Okay. Think about 19 or 20-year-olds from your day to this day.
Yeah. They probably would do it without washing it well first.
First of all, this generation eats out of toilets. I got a picture of two dingbat 20-something-year-olds eating a sundae out of a toilet.
Mm. Well, they do eat Tide Pods.
Yeah, that too. So symptoms of a chemical burn will depend on a few basic but important things. What was the substance? Where it came into contact with the person, how long were you exposed to it, whether it's inhaled or ingested. So here we go with bleach. Household bleach coming into contact with your skin, for example, will have a much different effect than bleach coming in contact with your eyes. It feels slimy on the skin, all right? You might have, like I said, pain, redness, irritation, burning, numbness. That's like pushing it with the numbness, but unless you're bathing in it. You can also get blisters or blackened skin at the site of contact, blurred vision, total loss of vision, especially hair dye. I was dyeing my hair, and I wear glasses. Well, I had my head sideways because I was trying to do the sides of my hair. Because if anyone's dyed hair, you don't want to just have it go drip straight down. It'll go down and get everywhere. So you turn your head sideways to get the side of your head so you can have time to rub it in. Well, a big plop of that went right in my eyeball.
Oh.
Yeah. So I flushed my eye. I mean, I flushed them and flushed them and flushed them and flushed them. But, unfortunately, I burnt my cornea, and I had to go to the hospital. Yeah, it was bad. So they take it. This is the reason why I say do not get shit in your eyes. They take an IV fluid bag, 1 liter, and they'll hang it up on the wall or the bed. And there's a long IV tubing.
Right.
But there's this little contact it looks like a contact lens. I kid you not. It's on the end of the tubing. They actually have to put that contact on your eyeball. So your eyes is already red. And yes, and they will sit there and because that way with that contact, it will get the fluid up under your eyelid and all of that. That way they don't have to hold your eyelid open and, you know, and all that. So they don't have to touch it. Amadeza, oh, my God. And so, yeah, I could not wear contact lenses for, like, a month. But I did.
That doesn't sound pleasant. At least it didn't permanently damage your eye.
No, no. You could, if you inhale it, if there's fumes and you inhale it, you could have coughing, wheezing, shortness of breath, and severe chemical burns, or if a corrosive substance was swallowed, you could have weakness, dizziness, fainting, headache, muscle pain, spasms, or seizures, low blood pressure, irregular heartbeat, and even a heart attack.
Right.
Like I said, do not induce vomiting. They used to with Epicac.
Right.
Not anymore. Now it's, like I said, if it's an acid or depending on the type of chemical, milk will dilute it. So that's why they tell you to drink milk or bread or both. And
right.
Sometimes you have to actually do the activated charcoal. So
where are you going?
If the caustic substance is ingested, or if the chemical burn is very deep, more, like I said, more than 3 inches in diameter, affects the eyes, face, groin, butt, or a major joint, you have to get to the hospital. I would go to the hospital anyway, especially
right.
if you're at work. They're going to make you go anyway. So, and like you were saying about everyday chemicals, so this is some of the most common, like I said, household cleaners like bleach, ammonia, or drain cleaner, toilet bowl cleaners, if you have paint thinner.
Yeah, well, I used to paint with acrylic paints, so I have gotten a few burns from
now,
the paint that, you know, turpentine?
Yeah, turpentine, yeah. But also, there's skin, hair, and nail products and teeth whitening kits. Don't forget your acetone for your nails.
Right.
Hairspray, the liquid, not the aerosol. Well, if you're dumb enough to get hairspray in your eyes, that's your own fault. that's why you cover your eyes with one hand, ladies, and you spray with the other.
I remember Aquanet.
Aquanet. I have Aquanet, believe it or not. I don't know if it's any good. But the liquid hairspray, the pump.
Yeah.
Don't drink it.
Like the mousse and stuff.
Well, yeah, you could also get, yeah, listen, ladies or girls, whatever. When you use mousse, and, of course, you're going to rub it on your hand. Rinse or wash your hands before you touch your face, because I've done that. But I did that when I was younger. Pool chlorine and pool cleaning systems. Or two other, another big thing. So if
well, they usually have bleach in them, don't they?
Chlorine. Well, yeah, chlorine bleach, yeah. So if you have children, actually, you know what? It doesn't matter if you have kids at home or not. Read the warning labels or what activates the or deactivates the chemical. Make sure you know what they are. Especially if you have kids. If you're at work, you have an MSDS, which is a material safety data sheet. And everyone has to know where they're at and all that good crap. So keep your chemicals put up away from children. Animals, believe it or not, animals have got into antifreeze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can kill
and children
it's
can too.
Sweet. It's
yeah.
sweet or something.
So it's the I forgot what it's called. And it causes crystals. And the only reason why I know this is my brother and my ex brother in law, his second, third, I don't know, whatever wife, I don't know, whatever she was, third, whatever. She had four kids. I say had, because the oldest one had mental disabilities. Well, she got tired of taking care of him. She fed him antifreeze, and he died.
Right.
And this is the reason why I know this. They did an autopsy. It causes the crystals in their brain and stuff, but they ruled it an accident. No, she killed him. But anywho, that's not either here or there. But so please do not let your kids or your pets get in your antifreeze because it will kill them. And like you were saying, the sweet, there's some, I forgot the chemical that's in it, but kids think it's Kool-Aid. And it's usually green, that fluorescent green, and kids can get, you know, whatever. Okay, so anyway, the same thing goes with chemical burns as with fire and thermal. The first degree, second degree, and third degree, it's the same thing. Let's see. Remove yourself from the chemical or the person. Remove the contaminated clothing, flush the affected tissue with water for at least 20 minutes. Remove foreign objects from the affected area, especially the eye, unless it's impaled. If you got something in your eye, especially if it's metal, leave it alone. I don't care what they said. Go to the hospital and they can remove it without you or whoever screwing up your eyeball. I know we've gone over it before, like with hemorrhage. If you're impaled, leave it alone. Same thing goes for a burn. Leave it alone. Don't touch it. So after the first aid's been administered to people with chemical burns, your doctor's going to tell you what to do. So what they'll do is IV fluids. They're going to regulate your heart rate and your blood pressure. If it was ingested, they will give you an antidote to counteract the effects of the caustic substance. You'll get your bandaging, and they'll tell you how to clean it and things like that. Get your tetanus shot to prevent bacterial infections. Just make sure your tetanus shot's up to date. So that was chemical burns. And then we have electrical. So much fun. Ouch.
I'm here. I'm listening, but my cat got away, and I'm trying to put his harness on. Sat and
these electrical burns, damn. They some gnarly-looking burns. Okay, so, by the way, I'm going on the Mayo Clinic. So if anybody has any questions about any of this, go on the Mayo Clinic. That's always a good...
Every time I hear that, I think of Officer and a Gentleman.
What?
Mayo. Every time I hear that, I think of Officer and a Gentleman.
Yeah, right.
Mayo.
Drinking that ethylene glycol.
That's what it is. Ethylene glycol. I can't remember what the hell it was called. So electrical burns can be caused by a number of sources, like lightning, stun guns, like I said, drop cords, appliance cords, TVs, lamps, whatever. With your stun gun / taser, don't sit on them. I've done that, and my grandson thought he was funny. And it's a good thing I only had one prong on mine, or the battery was almost dead. That's what it was. The battery was almost dead, and I sat on it and shocked my ass, and it was not fun. So when to call your doctor is, anytime you get shocked, go to the doctor or the hospital. Don't touch the injured person if he or she is still in contact with the electrical current, like we were saying. if the source of the burn is high voltage wire or lighting, or lightning, well, lightning is you get struck one time and that's it. Don't get near high voltage wires until the power is turned off. Overhead power lines usually are not insulated. And stay at least 20 feet away from whoever's being shocked. If the wires are jumping or sparking, go farther away. And don't move a person with an electrical injury unless the person is in immediate danger. Now, if you're at home and you're, the junction box on the top of the pole there, sparks, explodes, whatever, the light company will tell you stay in your house, and that's the best thing for you. Stay in your house until they can come and take care of it. So severe burns, confusion, difficulty breathing, heart rhythm problems, cardiac arrest, muscle pain, and seizures and loss of consciousness, those are definite. You have to go to the hospital. But if it's a minor shock, well, it all depends on the person, too, especially if you have heart problems. So if you can, turn off the source of electricity if possible, if it's as simple as a light switch, or go to the breaker box and shut off the main breaker. If not, move the source away from both of you and the injured person. Using a dry, non-conducting object, like cardboard, plastic, or wood. If the person needs CPR, make sure they're away from the source. Especially if there's water near the source, do not do it in the water. Get away, get out of the water and before you even do it, or you're both going to be in the same position. Try to prevent the injured person from becoming chilled. Apply a bandage. Cover any burned areas with a sterile gauze bandage, and if available, a clean cloth. Don't use a blanket or a towel because those loose fibers will stick to the burns. And honestly, I would stick to that same thing for any type of burn, not just chemical burns, or I mean electrical burns either, because that stuff will stick. Well, that's it for it. Do you have anything to add for electrical burns?
No, you covered it all.
Okay, cool. Okay, radiation burns.
Oh, I hope never to have to worry about that.
I know, me too. So,
they used to say that there was a theory that 5G was causing this the COVID.
Yeah, I know, we know that.
He thought it was radiation poisoning from the 5G causing all the illness and death.
No, even in my conspiracy room, they accuse 5G of other stuff, but not that.
Oh, no, I heard that was the first thing I heard, was 5G was causing COVID. That was yes, and I'm like, you have to be smoking crack.
I've heard that it's going to interact with the vaccine, but I've never heard it associated with COVID other than that, and I think it's wacky.
That's when it very first came out, like the beginning of last year. And I'm like, look, guys, I'm a conspiracy theorist, but that is a little far-fetched.
I willingly admit some of the ideas out there are weird. However, I do know that, 5G, it's not good for you. But nothing. But any too much radiation of any kind, is not healthy. You know,
it'll make you blind, right?
Yeah,
blind. Really?
Yeah.
Well, I know that there are some symptoms and some people are more sensitive than others. Like, look at those big electric towers. It's been proven that they do affect people, some more than others. I have a 4G. I will never get a 5G phone, ever.
Well, the reason they said that it was associated was because every place that they turned on the 5G were the places that were starting to flare up with the COVID. For example, it was first turned on in Wuhan, China. That's the first place that got 5G.
Oh, okay.
And then it went to Italy and Europe, and then it came to the U.S., and then it kind of followed the where the 5G was being turned on is where people were, where the COVID flare-ups were occurring. And that's why they associated it with that. That's the conspiracy.
Yeah. That is, well, that makes sense. I can see that, but still, I don't see it.
I don't believe in conspiracies either, but I do think that Trump's going to be president in August.
No, the only 5G thing that I'm worried about, honest to God, if you saw the movie Cell, everyone that, when they turned all the 5G towers on, there was something in it, and while people were on their cell phone, it did, the radiation or whatever did something to their brain, and they all wigged out, and, you know, they nutted up. That'd be the only thing. So.
Well, you heard about the weapons that they're using now. They're shooting radiation at people, and they're frying their brains already. It's like a gun now. I heard about it. It's happened in Washington, D.C. to a couple of people.
A radar gun?
Yeah, it's like some sort of radiation gun, and they just aim it at a person, and it kind of
cooks
the brain.
Yeah.
Have you seen the movie Aaron Brockovich? It's about, it has a lot to do with high power voltage and electromagnetic radiation coming off the high power voltage lines. A lot of people were getting cancers and brain tumors and illnesses from it. And then they ended up suing the power company in California. That's a true story.
Huh.
So there is, if you live near a high power line, you notice that a lot of your electronics don't work properly. Some people who drive underneath high power lines, they get a headache. And so there's something there.
Yeah.
They even make special clothing that insulates you against that. And my doctor's even prescribed it to people.
I did notice that. Now, wherever you're driving, sometimes your radio won't work. If you're underneath those big power lines, or a static or whatever, but
let's see, AM.
A radiation burn or rash is a common side effect of radiation therapy for cancer. That's what I was talking about earlier. It's also called radiation dermatitis, and there's no clear way to stop it from happening, but there's a lot you can do to take care of your skin if you get one. So,
Like a sunburn?
It'll be red, irritated, swollen, sunburned, or tanned. And after a few weeks, the skin will dry out. It'll get flaky, itchy, and peel. My kid's grandmother on their father's side had throat cancer. They had to remove her larynx, and she had to have radiation. And when she was having it done, your skin literally, it really is. It's just like bright red. It blistered and her skin did peel. I mean, she said it was painful when she had it done. So a radiation burn can range from mild to severe. It depends on the things, like which part of your body was treated and how much radiation you received and how long and things like that. So the treatment for it is always tell your doctor right away if you have anything that's abnormal, symptoms of a radiation burn or other changes. And they'll tell you how to keep the irritation from getting worse, also to avoid an infection. So there's no standard treatment for radiation burns. So your doctor may recommend moisturizing emollient creams or prescribe a steroid medication that you put on your skin. Probably hydrocortisone or any of those. That type of steroid.
Silvadine cream.
Okay. Oh, this says don't use any over-the-counter skin product. Oh, yeah. Don't use over-the-counter skin products unless you talk to your doctor first.
Yeah, salt of silvadine.
So basically, call your doctor. If it gets worse, if it itches more than 2 days, it bleeds, causes pain or discomfort that keeps you from getting sleep, you get blisters, if it gets crusty, you also start leaking.
The oncologist down here, tell him to put on Solarcaine.
Solarcaine? Really?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow. And
the Hispanic population is real big on aloe vera.
Oh, yeah. I like the aloe vera with lidocaine because that's, like, some of the best stuff. But like I said, it's going to burn like a mother when you first put it on. And it stings. And then eventually it'll stop after a little while. Oh, sorry, I had to go let my doggies out. Okay. So it's important to go extra easy on your skin while it heals. So wear loose clothes made of soft, smooth material. Avoid wearing tight or stiff clothes with rough textures over your treated skin. And don't starch your clothes either. Wear that really soft cotton is the best thing. It's the softest. Don't scratch or rub or scrub your skin on that treated area. If your doctor tells you to cover or bandage the treated skin, use tape that's made for sensitive skin. This says like paper tape. Well, I'm allergic to adhesive and paper tape. And I'm allergic to silk tape. So
just put on gauze and then put the tape on the gauze.
Yeah. Or the Tegaderm. You know what I'm talking about? For IVs, that's the only kind of tape I can have is that kind of tape. I don't know why. I'm even allergic to the glue they use for stitches. The glue stitches, I'm allergic to that. Yeah,
Dermabond.
Like yeah.
Dermabond.
Yes. I actually coughed so hard, I popped the stitch, the glue thing, adhesive, and then it got infected. And I blistered, and I'm like, wow, what the hell? So avoid ice packs or heating pads. Don't use them unless your doctor says okay, because that will aggravate your skin. Shield your skin from sunlight because of the sun rays. If you can, cover the treated area with clothes or have a dark color or UV, a built-in UV protection. Wait a minute, dark clothes absorb sunlight. Why would you wear dark clothes? You would not. Wear light color clothes, or some clothes have the built-in UV protection. Those are pretty cool, actually. Also, if you can't have it covered with clothes, ask your doctor if you should put sunscreen on that area. If they say okay, then use a broad-spectrum sunscreen that has at least a minimum of SPF 30. Use lukewarm water and mild soap when you wash. Hot water may hurt, and it may make it burn more. So let the water run over your treated skin. Don't rub it. And it's extra important not to rub off the ink marks. Oh, yeah, for the radiation, if it's for that. Try not to rub those ink marks off until your treatment ends.
We also put those ink marks on there to see if there's any spreading erythema, which would suggest cellulitis.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that. I just know that they mark it, like, well, my ex-mother-in-law, when they did her on her throat.
Colonel, question.
What?
I have a question, Colonel. Can you... When you get through with the topic, can you, if you didn't already, maybe I missed it, but can you discuss the stages of burns, the different degrees?
did, but you know what? I did not cover yet was the percentages.
Oh, body percentages. That's
yeah. So
you guys, already talked about one, two, and you already. No, that's fine. That's fine. I didn't know if you'd gone over that.
Oh yeah, the first degree, second degree, and third degree. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Or to call it.
And what's the?
Yeah, the partial. Huh.
What's the major problem with the burn other than, you know, secondary infection? A burn dehydrates
shock.
Your skin.
Also,
right?
Shock,
it's,
too, for third.
And, well, the shock, too, big, yeah. But it's a dehydration factor of the skin. And
yep.
And so moisturizing the skin is very important. So you get a major burn, you want to run water over it.
Yeah, I'm gonna finish up because I only have the rest of this radiation right here, and then steam, and then we'll go over the percentages. Don't use skin products on the treated area unless you talk to your doctor first. So before you use like powders, creams, perfumes, deodorants, body oil, ointments, lotions, hair removal products, or home remedies, make sure you talk to your doctor first. Also, if you shave that area, talk to your doctor before. They may tell you to use an electric razor over the regular razor blade. So discuss with your doctor first. And with anything, when in doubt, call your doctor on anything. And so steam burns. Okay, here we go. So, like I said, burns are caused by heat, electricity, friction, chemicals, radiation, and steam burns are caused by heat and fall into the category of scald. You can scald whatever. Steam burns can be underestimated because a burn from steam might not look as damaging as any other type of burn. Research on pigskin by the Swiss Federal Laboratories of Material Science and Technology showed that a steam burn can penetrate the outer layer of skin and then cause severe burns on the other two layers. While the outer layer does not appear to be severely damaged, the bottom layers can. So the severity of a scalding burn will depend on the temperature of the hot liquid or steam, the amount of time that you were in contact with the hot liquid or steam, the extent of the body area burns, and the location. Like I said, hot tubs, saunas, and steam rooms. Usually they're set at less than 140 degrees or right around there. Usually, like I said, 15 minutes. At least that's what it is at the gym here, at the Y. They tell you to get out after 15 minutes. Because people have actually passed out and drowned in a hot tub. So burns are classified as first degree, second degree, or third degree based on the damage done. So a first degree, hot water causes a third-degree burn in 1 second at 156 degrees Fahrenheit, 2 seconds at 149, 5 seconds at 140, and 15 seconds at 133 degrees Fahrenheit. That's according to the Burn Foundation, how fast you could get a third-degree burn. When you go into, I don't know if you guys have ever been into a steam room, especially at the Y, the pipe is right there in the middle of the, like, towards the back wall. And as that steam comes out, if your leg is anywhere near that, I actually got a burn on my leg. Well, it was really, really red and irritated because it goes for like 15 minutes to fill the room up with steam. And that's how hot it gets. So for treating a scald injury, separate the scald victim and the source to stop any additional burning, of course. Cool scalded area with cool, not cold, water for 20 minutes. Do not apply cream, salves, or ointment. Unless they're stuck to the skin, remove clothing and jewelry on or near the affected area. Like I said, on any kind of burn, if it's stuck, don't take it off. Leave it alone. If you have to cut around it, like if it's just stuck to one spot, that's fine. Cut around it if you can. If not, just leave it alone. And cover the burn area with a clean, dry cloth or bandage. And then call 911, or if you're close enough to get to the hospital, get to the hospital. Every day, over 300 children under 19 are treated in the emergency rooms for burn-related injuries, while older children are more likely to be injured by direct contact with fire. Younger children are more likely to be injured by hot liquids like a stove or a bathtub or your kitchen sink. So according to the American Burn Association, from 2013 to 2017, our emergency rooms in America estimated 376,950 scald burn injuries with consumer household products and appliances. That's to children. Oh, my bad. Of the 376,000, that's everybody. 21% of those were for children under four. Many young children are more likely to be injured by scalding because their natural childhood characteristics, they're curious. They really don't understand danger. Limited ability to react quickly with a hot liquid or steam. Older adults, like younger children, have thinner skin, and it makes it easier to get a deeper burn. Also, some older people might have a higher risk of being injured by scalding because of certain medications or condition will decrease the ability to feel heat. So they might not move away from the steam or hot liquid source until they're injured. There are some children, and I'm not sure what it is. Some have no pain. They have a high pain tolerance, and they don't feel the pain. So that's why you need to pay attention to your kids. Certain conditions that might make them more prone to falls when carrying hot liquids or in the proximity of hot liquids or steam. So we already went over all the preventions. Pretty much it's all the same from heat, burn. Never leave items cooking on the stove unattended. Turn the pot handles in. Don't hold your child while dealing with hot liquids or fire or anything like that. Supervise. I never let my children use anything in the kitchen except the microwave until they're about 10, just because of their curiosity was just too much. Avoid using area rugs in the kitchen, especially near the stove, because you could slip and fall. And set your water's thermostat, your hot water heater, to 120 or lower. And so now we're going to cover the percentages. Okay. So to estimate the burn size in adults, it's called the rule of nines. Actually, it's called the rule of nines for both infants, babies, children, and adults. On the adult, the front and back of the head and neck equal 9% of the body surface. The front and back of each arm and hand equal 9% of body surface area. The chest is 9%, and the stomach is 9% of the body surface area. The upper back is 9%, and the lower back is 9% of the body surface area. The front and back of each leg and foot is 18%, and the groin is 1% of the body surface area. Now, for children, this is for babies and young children. The front and back of the head and neck are 21% of the body surface area. The front and back of each arm and hand are 10%. The chest and stomach are 13%. The back is 13%. The bottom, their butt, is 5%. The front and back of each leg and foot are 13.5% of the body surface area. And the groin is 1% of the body surface area. The rule of palm is another way to estimate the size of a burn. The palm of a person who is burned, not the fingers or the wrist, is about 1% of the body. So use the person's palm to measure, if you can. Use their palm, not yours, theirs. It can be hard to estimate the size of a burn. So if you think a burn is a certain size, but you're unsure, it's best to ask the doctor. What they think. So let's go to, oh no, that was it. Was there anything else to cover under the, besides the first degree, second degree, third degree, and then the percentage? Still on. Well, crap.
Yeah, you're still there.
Okay. Everyone's quiet.
Well, my phone's down to 1%. It's about to crash. I'm outside.
Oh, okay.
Well, I think
that was it. Oh, okay. Well, that's what I was asking them. The percentages and then the thicknesses of, oh God, my back's killing me. But yeah, that's all.
Careful.
That's about it. That's all. So is there anything else that we need to cover or... or go over? Oh, so if there's no questions or anything like that, or comments or anything like that, they're saying that the amount of time it's been and the weather, it's going to make it hard to ID the victims from the collapse. So I don't know how much longer they can go. It's been how many days? Five?
Yeah.
Roughly? You can't go that. I mean, there's just no way, you know. Wow. Get this. The House voted today to remove all statues of Confederate leaders from the U.S. Capitol.
Huh.
Talk about, just why don't you just get rid of our history and just get it over with? I mean, shit.
Right.
What's the point? And I hope they strip that bitch from her being in the Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
What's going on right now is they're trying to get... to find out who's going to be on the Olympic team to go to Japan. Japan's already said they will not allow any political anything, BLM, Antifa, or whatever's in your country, it will not be allowed. You cannot show anything. I think the bitch should be taken out of the Olympics and never be allowed to play again. Sorry, but, you know. And we're days away from having a complete Afghan withdrawal. So we're going to be out of Afghanistan. pretty soon. But things are heating up in Syria and Iran. So,
yeah, I've been watching
gonna be
that
going
too.
It's getting pretty bad. So we're going to end up sending them from Afghanistan right to Syria. It's freaking stupid shit. It's not only is it Ted Cruz and Crenshaw, Tom Cotton is also asking for Gwen Berry to be removed from the Olympic team. Good. I hope they get rid of that bitch. I'm sorry. Okay, leave it to California. Police fatally shoot man trying to enter fire evacuation zone in a major weed-growing area in Northern California. So everyone's going to get nice and high in Northern California. Wow. I wonder, do you still get high even though the pot plants are not dried out? Do you still get that? Is it like the THC is there? Oh, it's always there, but is it like more potent when it's dried out?
You're asking the wrong person.
I have no idea. I do know
but
that.
I would have to say that it would have to be dry.
Oh, okay.
But that's my personal opinion. I really don't know.
What I'm saying. I don't know anything about that. But I used to live in Alma, Georgia, population 8,000. And this is the Oso Brilliance of the sheriff in Alma, Georgia. And this was probably about 15 years ago. They had a major, major, major pot bust in Alma. It's the pot capital of the world, believe it or not. Them dumbass sheriffs, what they did with all that pot, all of it, they stuck it in the trash, you know, the big trash thing, and they burned it. They lit bales of pot on fire. And the big smoke clouds going through town. Yep, you guessed it. Everybody was high. Because that shit was dried out. That shit was dead. Well, not dead, but you know what I'm saying. It all dried.
Right.
Yep, everybody was high. I think that's when that particular sheriff lost his job. Because that wasn't the most brilliant idea in the world.
Right.
Okay, hear this. A grown-ass man in Florida. He was shooting at cops because he thought he was being controlled by a video game. Yep. A grown
friggin' idiot.
Yeah, I could see that from teenagers and stuff, but not a grown ass man. I'm sorry. Our F-15s and F-16s struck an Iran-backed militia group. They shot them. Telling you.
Nice.
It's heating up.
Yeah.
I'm just going to flip through this last. Oh, wow. They found more remains from a 1952 air crash in Alaska.
Wow.
I know they found 500 Native Americans, children in Canada.
Right. We were talking about that last night.
Wow. So LaGrange, Illinois, they're flooded. They're flooded big time. houses were flooded, cars. That's all of that. What we were talking about?
Yeah.
The highway, yeah, they just keep getting rain, and it's pretty bad. Well, get out of Illinois. Let's see, and I got, what? Oh, this is going to be cool. There's a sunken continent of Icelandia that can stretch from Greenland to Europe. There's a whole continent that's underwater. It's called ocean floor.
Wow.
I know. I'm actually going to read up on it. Huh?
I said, wow, go figure.
No, I mean, it's a big, yeah, but it's, to me, it would be the ocean floor. I mean, we have mountain ranges and volcanoes underwater. We do. So I guess that's what they're talking about. And that's where Greenland is attached, where it used to be attached. I think that's what they're saying. Wow. Did you know that America was attached to Scotland during Pangaea?
No.
Yeah. They've got rocks on the coast of Scotland that don't belong there. they're rocks in our mountain range, and they're like, how is this possible? And come to find out, during Pangaea, when everything was one big massive continent, America was attached, that top part, to Scotland. Yeah, I'm telling you, when I go on freaking YouTube, man, I start freaking watching everything. This couple, I don't know who they are, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell, have been officially indicted for murdering her children. I don't see how anybody can kill their kids. Wow.
I can't wrap that around my head. And it just pisses me off.
So she was married. Her husband died. And then I guess she got married again. And apparently she didn't want to have her, they did not want her first husband's kids in their marriage. Whatever, I guess. I don't know. Damn. First degree murder. Should be the death penalty. Screw first degree murder. When you kill children, or hurt children, that should be death penalty. I'm sorry, that's just me.
I totally agree with you.
I mean, it's disgusting. But let me see, last. China got pissed. Remember we were talking about Japan last night? Japan told China, or Beijing, whatever, about Taiwan. China is pissed that Japan had anything to say about Taiwan. So I'm telling you, it's either going to be war with China or war with Syria and Iran. So what? Oh, screw Omar. She's such a friggin'. Yeah, she's still getting catching shit because she said she doesn't regret calling the United States and Israel, how she compared us to terror organizations. See, I don't get how they're allowed to be in political office. If you hate this country, you should not be allowed to have anything to do with anything that makes any decisions for this country. I'm sorry. It's just, call me crazy. But other than that, that's all I got. I got nothing else. I'm done. I managed to get us to a quarter till. Hey, it's hard work when you got to get that last 10, 15 minutes in.
I know it is, and you always do a bang-up job.
Did you see the video that Maria shared about the amount of people that's getting sick from the new Delta variant and those who had the vaccine? It's mostly people who were vaccinated who are getting the new Delta variant.
Of course.
Here's one thing. That's because the vaccine, that's like saying get your TB test for chickenpox. It's not going to help. That's why they have different flu vaccines every single year. Because
And that's why they're forcing everybody to get this vaccine so they get sick with the variant. If you really think about it, they've said, you know, Gates has said it from day one, and there's been a lot of people talking about it. Population control.
Biden is saying,
you know, the ones with their heads up their ass that don't want to research and believe it and call us conspiracy theorists, they're the ones that are dying.
Yeah. And the other thing is, Biden said if America is not vaccinated by July 4th, he's shutting the country down again. If we're not at 60%. Dude, we're not even at 42%. The last time we looked, it was 42.
Right. And our idiots down here, news media, keeps on saying, oh, another case popped up. Yeah, I don't see the CDC confirming that, for one. Number two,
no.
I don't believe in the CDC because they've done fucked up since this shit started.
Oh,
so,
yeah. I mean, damn my ears. My ears are clogged up. No, I did trust this when this first started. You know, I'm like, okay. Because everybody took it seriously. We really did for the first couple of months. And then I'm like, this is like ridiculous. It's getting blown way out of hand. And it's like, basically, and they're starting to restock all the disposable masks and all this other shit. Look, use common sense. Wash your hands. Cover your mouth when you sneeze or cough. If you're sick, stay home. Straight up, plain and simple. Do your vitamin C, whatever. If you get sick, your vitamin C, your D, your zinc, and shit like that. But I'm not going into another lockdown. They could kiss my ass. I'm not going to. That's all there is to it. And what they're saying is, because not enough people trusted the lockdown, and not enough people got enough vaccines and shit, they have to keep adding on. Keep adding on shit. Keep the fear factor going.
Exactly.
And they're saying that the people that refuse to get vaccinated are Republicans. That's a lie. That's an outright lie. There are some Democrats that are not getting vaccinated.
I know a lot of Democrats that don't believe in their Democratic bullshit.
Yeah, so politics has nothing to do with it. It's called common sense.
Exactly.
Do your research.
That's the whole problem.
You do you.
Nobody's doing research. They're believing everything that's on mainstream, everything in the news, and every time that fucking idiot puppet puts it out. Now, come on.
You know,
Fauci should have been fired that fucking day.
Oh, I know.
But look, just like all the other idiots and all the other friggin' crooked asses, of course, get swept under the rug. Oh, wait till somebody has the balls to speak up. Then we'll worry about it. Because nobody's speaking up.
No, because they're afraid to.
Exactly.
You see, here's the thing. My doctor told me because I got COVID and I got blood clots, don't you dare get that vaccine. She said, okay, this is what she said. She's like, well, I could get it and run the risk of getting more blood clots and dying from the vaccine, or I could get it and not get sick. But I have so many allergies, she said it's not even worth the risk.
Right.
I'm better off just getting COVID again if I get sick again. And I am.
Yeah.
I'm better off. So
yeah,
I'm not going to.
Look, Kim, you with your immune system without that shot fucking kicked it.
Yeah.
Now, why would
I have
you
silly, I've got an autoimmune.
Up? Right. So now why would you open yourself up and let them fucking poison you to kill you?
Oh, exactly. I'm grateful that my aunt and uncle and my mom, they're okay now.
Yeah, well, what about 2-3 years
my
from now?
My aunt's 80. Well, that's true, but see, my aunt is 80. She recovered from cancer. She has other health issues. I'm so really surprised. My mom has thyroid problems. They think she's got lupus, and they don't know if she's going to end up with Hashimoto's and all of that crap. So I'm surprised, but they're paranoid.
Right.
So,
but they hate Trump. Why would you, again, no matter who was in office, why would you take that coin knowing all of your immune deficiencies and flip that coin and say, okay, well, because they said we need it, let's do it.
Yep.
That's like if I told you, let's go jump off the fucking bridge. I'll do it, but are you going to do it?
Hell no! Well, I'm afraid of heights.
There you
well,
go.
No, it's like your parents. Your mom says if your friend jumped towards you, jump off a building, were you going to do it? No. But see,
right.
But you're right. That's the one thing that I have to look forward to is the fact that I have an autoimmune disorder. I got COVID with blood clots and survived, and I'm okay. I did not go on a ventilator. And, you know, honestly, the worst thing that I got, besides the blood clots, was the fatigue and the body pain. Believe it or not, the body pain was, oh, my God. I felt like I got run over by a Mack truck.
Well, now you know why, though.
Well, yeah.
Because you had the problems beforehand, and it just intensified it.
Oh,
but
and not
still,
being able to taste or smell.
Right. But
that
see,
drove me nuts.
but see, again, like I said, you combated it without taking their drug.
And honestly, the only thing I did was I got remdesivir. I didn't get hydroxychloroquine. I got remdesivir. It's what the VA hospital here uses in Kansas. That's what they use. 7 days of remdesivir. Worked fine for me. My kid's dad got an experimental drug, an antibiotic, and he ended up in ICU. He could not walk. He couldn't do shit. And he almost ended up on a ventilator because of an experimental antibiotic they used on him.
Again,
and it wasn't
again,
hydroxychloroquine.
Again, you know, I don't trust media. I don't trust the Facebook shit. But, again,
no.
Somebody else just put out that, you know, somebody just died from the second shot. And all because they found out the first shot was just saline.
Oh, shit.
That they received.
They know for a fact it was?
Yes.
Well, that sucks.
And of course, that person just had to get it removed, and now they're blocked.
Wow.
So.
But yeah.
Again, these people that got their first shots, hallelujah, God bless you, because you didn't feel nothing. You know why? I have to believe you got the freaking saline shot.
Either that, or they're one of the ones that it's going to have to wait until down the line. Or if they get re-exposed to the Delta variant. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I think came out and said it. Virologist said that the saline, half the people got saline and the other half got the vaccine.
Yes.
That's what's happened. And people don't want to believe it. I've been telling people, that's a study group. That's the only way you're going to do your control. You have to have a control group. Usually
right.
It's a population of 100, 200, whatever, 1,000 or whatever, depending on what your study is. You have to have that control group. And
you and I were freaking guinea pigs for the government when we said our oaths.
Yep.
And guess what?
You line up.
from that fucking day, and I refuse all them friggin' shots.
I didn't have a problem with the flu vaccine. I honestly did not want to get the flu. Well, no. I never had an issue with it. Not one flu shot.
I didn't
now
either.
That...
You know, and you know what happened? When that so-called swine flu came around, I let my doctor talk me into taking that shit. And guess what?
My two daughters
brought it home from middle school, and the three of us were sick for Christmas of that year.
Well, that's because you had already got exposed to it, and it takes 2 to 3 weeks for your vaccine to take effect.
Well, guess what? Guess what? I haven't had a shot since, and I have not been sick.
I've only got sick once from a flu shot, only one time, but here's the thing. Now, because of what Phil was saying about the anthrax vaccine that we got, and sometimes it can affect people, my TB shot, I have to get an X-ray. I cannot get a TB vaccine anymore. I mean, and then the hepatitis vaccine almost killed me. It's not worth the risk.
Well, thank
God. For me,
God.
Because I got COVID. It's not
Thank
worth
God
it.
Thank God we escaped.
What?
We escaped the anthrax vaccine. All right, we got 90 seconds, kid.
Oh, go ahead and, yeah, do your thing.
But, yeah, it's been a great show. It always is. Like I told you, I enjoy it.
I try.
No, you do a bang-up job, like I said.
You know, I should add program director onto my resume. I really should.
There you go. Why not?
I think I'm going to. Oh.
Why not? Why the hell not?
How much you get paid? I don't.
No. No, but that's even better when it comes to getting
No,
getting
I know.
A
that's
job.
A, that, yeah. Well, go ahead and do your.
And I can vouch for you.
I know. Of course I'd put your name down.
All right, Kim, thank you again. It was very informative.
Oh, no problem.
As usual. And I appreciate you more than you know.
Well, thank you.
And God bless America. God bless our kids. Our first responders, our veterans, our troops, and God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Amen. Good night.